community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Evening all. Bell and Sperling show coming up. Got some funny stories with you. Johnny Sperling's in.
I'm in.
Be honest with you, Matt Hancock's not dancing to the music tonight. Johnny Sperling's back from Spain late last night. He's been working on an album over there. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Harry and Meghan. They've been evicted. Going to be talking about their football last night. West Ham, oh dear. Spurs, oh dear. Arsenal, leave it. How you been, John? You alright?
Yeah, I'm fine, yeah.
Good, good. That do.
You might like to hear my organ. I said right now.
Arctic rolls are back. The old dessert's back. Can't believe it, can you? Apple pie for me. Here she comes. Who's going in the house? Who's going in Frogmore Cottage?
Andy.
Is he?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Or Uncle Andy?
Uncle Andy.
Got some great songs coming up for you. Honestly, we've got some beautiful songs, and we're going to have a bit of banter, a bit of Bell and Sperling. It's going to be funny. Stay with us, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Bell and Sperling show. Here we go. Evening all, everybody all right?
Evening all.
How are we? Johnny Sperling is in here, he's got back from Spain last night, and you were sort of saying how dear your cab from Stansted's
became. Well, I was saying how dear it is, but if you go to the taxis in Stansted Airport, I went up there, I said, how much for a cab, mate?
Yeah.
He said, £110. I said, what?
To where? Back to Spain?
Back to Spain, yeah. I said, £110. He said, that's how much it is, mate. I said, not for me, it's not. No. And I got an Uber. £110, Uber 62.
Was it really?
What's the matter? Why? I've got to do this, haven't I?
No, you're right.
I've got a microphone here that's... there we are.
There you go.
You're there fine. We are. Look.
I was going to say that a lot of the taxi drivers, the black cabbies... are probably screaming at you at the moment for jumping in the Uber.
Well, I don't... Was that a black taxi rank?
No, I think that's probably Stansted taxi rank,
yeah, I think it is, yeah.
It's their own little crowd that live around there, isn't it?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Mm. I had a Burger King.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I thought it was a bit late, so I'll have a Burger King. And, it was freezing cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because things are so expensive these days that they can't afford to heat it.
How much for a double whopper?
Go on.
With cheese? £9.
Yeah, it's gone up.
What's gone on there? Yeah.
How about this?
They used to be like £5.50 or something.
On the way the other day, right, there's a little rhyme there. I drove, with God's honest truth, I was driving the kids to McDonald's. They're not kids anymore. They're 37 years of age.
Yes, they are.
Then I was driving to McDonald's.
Yeah.
And the queue was so long that I said, no, let's leave it. We'll get a Wimpy. Right?
Oh, you did. Oh, no. No, you made a big mistake there.
I phoned Wimpy.
Big mistake.
Pre-ordered it.
And Fortunes.
It was for three of us, yeah?
Mm.
Go on.
Well, it's Fortunes. 40 quid.
£7,000. It was actually £41.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with you. I said, you leave it. Mm. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to sit in the queue for McDonald's.
That's it.
Which is what I did. Was it £18 or something?
Mind you, I mean, a Wimpy is a bit of the governor.
Yeah.
The governor sauce.
Governor sauce.
What is it? The burger sauce?
Special sauce.
Special sauce.
Mm.
And the Big Bender.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you remember the Big Bender?
Of course I do, yes.
I used to love a Big Bender.
I do, yes. It's brilliant.
I still do.
There was a great one at Gants Hill. The Wimpy at Gants Hill was one of the best.
It was. Sid.
It was a hangover.
Do you remember Sid?
Not really, no.
Sid used to own it.
Did he?
He used to kick me out on many occasions.
He did. Listen, yeah. I wanted to start off the show, John, by talking about...
Yes.
Well, everybody's talking about Matt Hancock. I mean...
Oh, he's a lovely fella.
You know, the mad thing about Matt Hancock was...
Yes. Well, there was a lot of mad things about... Please excuse my voice, folks. I've got a bit of the lurgy. Well, I haven't. I've got the after effects of the lurgy.
Oh, Matt Hancock would have had you locked down.
So you can hear my voice is rather low.
He would have had you locked down.
Yes.
He would have had you at a table with five other people.
Only five, though.
Only five. It's only six if you're allowed.
Do you remember? If you think back to that, how mad it was. Mm. You went to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
Showed you to your table.
Mm-hmm.
You took it off. Oh, you're okay now. You can take it off because the virus doesn't get you when you're sitting down. Yeah. It only gets you when you're walking around. You want to go to the toilet? Oh, it'll get you in there. Oh, it'll get you in there. You better put your mask on. It was ridiculous.
It was the mad part about some
madness.
Of these WhatsApp messages that have been leaked. So obviously he was writing this book with Isabel Oakeshott, and she was, you know, he's basically given her his phone. I mean, you don't give anybody your phone. And he's given her his phone, and she's extracted thousands and thousands of WhatsApp messages.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And she's felt sort of obliged to tell us about some of the stupidity.
Basically to tittle-tattle.
Well, no, I mean, she was part of writing the book for him. I mean, it's a dirty way of journalism, I've got to be honest.
But mind you, though, I mean, she saw things that... Well, hang on a minute, you know, I've got to tell people about this.
Yeah, and this is what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the fact, look, I've always gone on... I've said to you for years, because we were trying to do gigs at the time, and
it was awful.
People were sitting at six to a table. I remember sort of doing an event, and people were saying, well, can I have a seven? And we go, well, no, you can't.
Mm.
Well, why? What's going to happen with the seven? Because, well, seven's too much.
Wasn't that the Bell's Ball that you did?
I did a Bell's Ball.
You did a Bell's Ball?
People had to sit down.
Yes.
You had to dance at your table. And this is the good
thing. That was ridiculous.
Here's a funny one. Here's a funny one for you. All right?
Go on.
Some people run in from the venue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was people dancing on their chair. They were sitting on their chair.
Yeah.
But shuffling around. Okay. Right, whilst we're doing some Stevie Wonder, right? And there was six people shuffling around, like musical chairs, and the people from the venue run in and said, stop it! Stop it! And they said, why? And they said, because the police are outside, and if they see you shuffling around on your seat,
mental,
we're all
for it. Absolutely mad as hatters it was.
When you now we find out in these texts, in these messages,
science,
that there was no science to six to a table. Nobody said, I'll tell you what, Matt.
Of course there wasn't.
Sit round here. It's only six of us having a meeting. Right? But guess what? What is it? Seriously, you're going to get COVID.
If
there's...
Seven of you.
You're done.
It's mad. When you look at it
now... But
we
accepted it, John, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I didn't. Did you accept it?
I had to.
No, we accepted it as in you had to go along with it, but I didn't ever think that it was right.
I'll tell you what, it is a funny story.
Go on, give me a funny story, Bella.
It's a funny story.
Give me a funny story, I could do with one.
Some of my family...
Yes.
We had a get together.
Yeah,
some people did. We had a get together.
When you say your family, mean your close family?
Yeah,
or
close family. We were part of the bubble. It was in a bubble.
The bubble. Great word. That
was. It was in the Belsey bubble.
Belsey bubble.
Okay, and we wasn't too sure whether we was allowed to be in the Belsey bubble one house or the Belsey bubble in a double house, right? And there happened to be at the end of the drive, there happened to be some blue lights flashing.
Oh.
The panic.
No.
Set off in my house. This is 3 weeks before everything finished, by the way.
Oh, really?
This is at the end of it. The panic that's setting, people hiding in wardrobes and stuff like that. Going, this is the madness, right?
Yeah.
So this is what I did. Mm. I went to the door.
Yeah.
And I said, and so everyone's hiding. And I said, oh, yes, sorry, officer, there's no one here. There's no one here. And no, and you can't come in. You could hear the panic in my... Obviously, I was answering the door to nobody. I was making it up. Right? It turned out there'd been a crash at the end of the road.
Oh, really?
Some blue lights. But what I'm saying is the stupidity of the panic.
It's amazing, isn't it?
The same thing.
It's amazing that you think it was only, what, a year and a half ago?
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah.
It was madness.
Yeah, it is a strange old situation.
Yeah.
I was going to play some songs, John.
I think we should play some music. Yeah.
I should.
If I was driving along in my car, I'd wanted to hear... What are we going to play, by the way? Tell me.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Honestly. Are we going to have that?
No, because I haven't loaded it up yet. And the reason why I haven't loaded it up yet is because...
Got to be honest with the people.
We got here a bit late.
Yes.
I'm going to have to give you something else, John.
Give me, because I'm going to introduce it like a DJ.
I could give you a choice then.
Yeah. Okay.
You can either have.
Come on.
You can either have Stay With Me, Ross Stewart and the Faces. Okay. There's that one.
Yeah.
Right. You can have If You Let Me Stay, Terence Trent D'Arby.
Oh, you know, they weren't in our playlist.
They weren't in our playlist. And I'll tell you the reason why, is because I don't know how to put the playlist into this machine.
He's going to do a different playlist, aren't you?
Yeah.
We spend all that time.
Yeah. I think I'll figure it out in a minute.
Okay, so out of those two...
Yeah.
Here's a lovely tune from 1987.
Yeah.
A young man came on the scene a little bit like Prince, a little bit like Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
It was Terence Trent D'Arby with If You Let Me Stay.
Sweetheart, listen. I know the last few pages haven't been good for the both of us. And I've caused you a lot of grief. But put those bags down, okay? Before you make a decision like that, please just listen to me. Because I don't want to leave. I definitely don't want to leave. Just hear me out.
Stay.
I should have said that I love you.
TCD. Terence Trent D'Arby there. Mm. Great. What a great pop star, wasn't he?
Well, you say that.
He was for one album.
For one album. Mm. For about 2 weeks.
Yeah. You met him, didn't you?
Terence Trent D'Arby went pothouse, didn't he?
Yeah. And you know why he went pothouse? I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because he took advice from Prince. Because his first album was so good, I bought that album. I absolutely loved it. And then Prince told him, second album, think outside the box. Go completely mad. And he went too mad.
Well, he went too mad and he wasn't Prince.
No.
If you can do it if you're Prince.
Yeah. You met him.
I did meet him, yeah.
What happened?
I was recording, we were recording our first single at Air Studios. Oh, yeah. And,
great studio.
It was a great studio, and they were all in there, weren't they? David Bowie.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah. And Brian Ferry was there.
Was he?
He was a weird fella, but yeah. He was nice,
yeah.
But very, very quiet.
Yeah.
And he used to stand in the engineer told me, when he did his vocal, he used to stand right in the corner and have his back to the booth.
Yeah.
So no one could see him, and he had his headphones on like that.
Oh, yeah, nut pot, yeah.
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 Oh, sorry.
Nutty as a fruiter.
Yeah. So Terence Trent D'Arby, yeah, mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, like a child.
But a great pop star.
A great pop, but he was like a child, I think. I think he was trying.
He was
too
a child.
No, he was. No, I think he was. I think he was trying too hard.
Yeah, I think you're probably.
I believe he was trying to be Michael Jackson. He wasn't Michael Jackson. Trying to be Prince.
Well, he didn't have an oxygen chamber, did he?
No.
I'll tell you a funny Brian Ferry story.
Oh, yeah.
Great story.
You've got a lot of funny stories.
Well, this is a funny story.
Oh, okay.
It was funny for me. It was funny at the time.
Yes.
We went to an England game one night.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm sorry about feeding back.
Feeding back, yeah.
Yeah, because I had the headphones too loud.
We went to
yes.
an England game one night, and I went with Teddy Sheringham, and he was injured. So Teddy was injured, and it was at Wembley.
Yeah.
And he said, look, I'm injured, so we'll go to the England game, and then we'll go out for a drink afterwards. So brilliant.
And yeah, nice.
Me, Teddy, and my mate Brad. Mm. And we went to the Met Bar.
I remember the Met Bar.
Remember it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, sort of like Park
Lane. Very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we went there, and there was hardly anybody in there.
Mm.
Like, there was like 20 people standing there.
Right.
It was like,
yeah.
This is a bit of a dead night, isn't it?
Mm.
And there was this guy standing there with a scarf around his neck and a jacket.
Yeah.
Looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And he comes over to Teddy, and he says, hi, Teddy, you know, how did you get on tonight?
Really?
And Ted said, and me and Brad are looking at him going, it's Brian Ferry.
Hmm.
It's Brian Ferry.
Ted was never fazed by that, was he?
I'll tell you how unfazed he was by that. He said, well, I'm sorry, mate. He said, I didn't play tonight. He said, I'm injured. I've just come out for a drink with my mates. He stood talking to him literally about 60 seconds, and then Brian Ferry walked away and Ted said, who was that? We said, it's Brian Ferry. And he went, yeah, what's that about then?
Well, actually, he done us a big favour once.
Mm.
We were at the Café de Paris.
Teddy or Brian?
Teddy.
Right.
We've always got a Ted story, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
And this is a good one. We were at the Café de Paris.
Oh, yes, we were.
Sven was, I think, released that day.
Yeah.
And we were at a premiere for the football film.
England manager,
that's right. Mike Bassett.
That's it.
So we went to the after bit with Bradley Walsh and all the boys and Andy Gray, and I was giving it the big and buying everybody champagne, do you remember?
Yeah. Keith Allen.
Yeah. Keith Allen was there, yeah. Mm. And Mick Hucknall was
yes.
there.
Yes.
Mick Hucknall.
Mm.
And, you know, we had a mutual friend with Mick Hucknall, didn't we?
Yes.
Mark James.
He's a guitarist.
The guitarist for Simply Red. So we I remember us both sort of cozying up to him.
Yeah, yeah.
And saying, oh, Mick, we've got a mutual friend.
Hmm.
Blanked us.
he
blanked us completely. and he just turned around and went, yes, Mark James, great guitarist.
Yeah.
And that was it.
But then Andy Gray sort of told him how good we were.
Yeah.
And he said, the boys are great.
But
they got a single with the
That didn't matter to him. But what did matter to him?
Yeah.
was later on in the evening, after the Spurs played that day, because he came with Iverson. Do you remember Iverson?
Teddy turned up with Stefan Iverson.
That's right.
Les Ferdinand, mm-hmm. and Darren Anderson.
That's right.
Yeah.
So in walks Ted. Mm. Oh, no, he played for Man U then.
No. This was actually a Spurs night out. It was a...
But he did play for Man U at the time.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Because McCucknell was a big Man U fan. Yeah.
No, it's 2001. No, he's back at Spurs.
Oh, he's back at Spurs. Yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was a legend at Man U.
Yeah.
You know, he'd just sort of done the treble, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, so all of a sudden, old Hucknall's eyes lit up.
Yeah, because he's standing with us. Hucknall thought, right, I'll go over and have a chat with him.
Oh, yeah. And we said to Ted, do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been really rude to us, Ted. He went, leave it to me.
And as Hucknall come over, we just all turned our back on
him. Yes! It was lovely.
I sort of forgot about that.
Do you remember that? Leave it to me.
Yeah, very good, very good. We won't play a Mick Hucknall thing. I just wanted to go back to the Matt Hancock story.
Yes, John, yes.
Because it's really strange with this Matt Hancock situation.
Yeah.
Because he was the health minister, and I used to say, this fella is the kid in your class that you said was an imbecile.
Oh, God. Well, not an imbecile. He was just one of the nerds.
He was a nerd. And you would sit at the front, wouldn't you?
And
you'd
throw pieces of paper at him.
You'd throw things at him.
Yeah.
And you'd say, well, who's that, sir? So, you know the fellow sitting in the back, and they go, oh, yeah, that's Matt. He's an idiot, isn't he? And and you know when you're just going, how is he running this? How is he running it? However, he did redeem himself a lot in the jungle. I know he shouldn't have gone in the jungle, but his character redeemed himself because he was quite fearless, if I'm honest.
Well, he had to be...
Yeah, but John, I can't get in with spiders.
Well, no, but if you know that there are people there that are going to save you, do you know what I mean?
I can't do the jungle. I said I'd never ever.
Oh, well, I couldn't do the jungle.
You couldn't.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I couldn't take my sleep machine there.
No. to explain your sleep machine, John.
What do you mean explain? Everyone.
Explain it.
Do you know how many people use that sleep machine?
You, as the only person.
You would be very surprised. In fact, you'd be very surprised how many people need one.
The only people I know is you and Billy Connolly.
No, don't be silly.
Who else?
Loads of people.
Well, tell me one.
My cousin.
What's his name?
Johnny. Johnny from New Zealand.
You just made him up.
I did not make him up. He's my cousin from New Zealand. And he's a fit lad as well.
What do you do?
It's not just fat people.
Do you phone up and compare sleeping
machines? You can't say fat
machines
anymore, can you?
You can't say fat.
No.
It's enormous.
It's enormous. It's even worse, isn't it? It's even worse. What are they talking about? I'd rather be called fat.
If you don't know.
You know where you are with fat?
Roald Dahl, the situation of late, they've changed words in the books. And they've fat is not allowed to be used now. So John,
can't be fat.
So you're enormous.
I'm enormous. But
you're gigantic.
I think that's a worse insult.
I think you're probably.
My God, you're enormous.
What just out of interest? Your cousin? What sleep machine has he got? What brand?
I don't know. I know something. There are two different types.
Yeah.
There is a sleep pap. No, there's a BiPAP.
Yeah.
And a sleep pap. Right. I think I might have it wrong.
Are you?
But I've got the BiPAP.
Are you bi?
I'm bi. Because I'll tell you why I'm bi.
Right.
Because I've got chronic sleep apnea.
Yeah.
In fact, they said they'd never seen sleep apnea like it.
I agree, yeah.
I had to have it.
You had I had the worst sleep apneas I'd ever seen.
I did.
I remember doing a TV show with you. Mm. And you had dark glasses on. You were asleep on my shoulder while Eamon Holmes interviewed us on GMTV.
Well, no, in fact, it was Eamon Holmes didn't actually interview us. Mm. He just sat there.
Yeah. Well, he was asleep.
Fiona Phillips interviewed us properly.
That's right. Yeah.
And I do remember at one point she said something to me. And she went to set and it was on me. It was on me.
Yeah.
And I did not hear a word she said. I was half asleep. And I just remember going, Belle?
Yeah, you did.
Do you remember that?
You pointed at me. You've done that in a lot of interviews. You've done that when we used to do Talk Sport.
But I wasn't well.
No, you wasn't well. But now you're all right.
Now I'm okay.
You wanted to play a Glen Campbell song.
Ooh, I did. I mean, I wanted Southern Southern Nights.
Southern Nights, which was my mum's favourite song.
Your mum's favourite song.
Southern Nights feel so good, it's frightening, wish I could stop this world from fighting.
La 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 la.
Anyway, we haven't got that.
Oh, we just did a little rendition of it.
I've got this one.
You have to pay royalties for us singing it.
I think they probably
don't. No, you don't.
We should get more money. We played Glen Campbell. He sadly died a couple of years ago. He was a great artist. He started out as a session guitarist.
Yeah, I just saw a fly.
A fly?
Don't get flies this time of the year, do you?
Do when you're fat.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some line. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that bind me, or something that somebody said because they thought we fit together walking. It's just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on the back roads by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just gentle on my mind. Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, and some other woman's crying to her mother cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back roads by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind. I dip my cup of soup back from a gurgling, crackling cauldron in some train yard. My beard a roughening coal pile and a dirty hat pulled low across my face. Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waiting from the back roads by the rivers of my memories, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
Glen Campbell there. Just, there was something great about Glen Campbell. You know, my mum loved Glen Campbell.
Yeah.
So that was always played in our house, you know, that sort of...
He was... Actually, Glen Campbell really was more... He was famous over here, but not as big as he was in America.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think he was. Mm. I mean, he was a big name, but it was very American music.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Very Southern...
It's quite strange, actually. We, I had a little family sort of road trip. Just before COVID, wasn't it? So 2019.
What do you mean a road trip? Oh, yeah. What you mean you...
Yeah, I went round Florida, didn't I?
Oh, yeah.
Had the kids in the back of the car.
That's right.
Or in the boat, really.
Yeah, yeah. A few chains on them?
A few chains, yeah. And we drove from Miami to Naples.
Nice.
And you drive through the sort of alligator country, right?
Right.
Kids were fast asleep.
Yeah.
And...
Well, I wouldn't like that.
It was a bit of a shame because my daughter was driving. they were fast asleep. And I just said, I'll tell you what, we're going to play a bit of Glen Campbell. Me and the wife in the front. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, sun was going down.
Yeah.
And we played those sort of tracks.
Yeah.
Really lovely. Felt great.
Well, of course, yeah. You drove, across America.
Being through America and playing that.
You know what you got to put on, you're driving across America.
Go on.
Laugh in the Fast Lane. It's perfect.
Strangely enough, I think we did play Eagles straight after.
You've got to put the Eagles on.
Yeah. Something I want to talk about. Number two that was on our list.
Mm?
Harry and Meghan being kicked out of Frogmore Cottage. They've been evicted. You know? I mean, look, let's be honest, right? If Frogmore Cottage, when we was doing a radio show before on Love Sport, we did a whole piece on her coming back and going, I'm not living here. The state of it.
First of all, she
wanted $2 million spent.
She lived at Kensington Palace first.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the annex.
Well, in the garage. Yeah. And so they've moved to Frogmore Cottage, but she said, I want it done. I think we spent $2 million on it.
Yeah.
And then I said to you, I'd done this whole thing about, you know, come back, and she says, put the shelves up. And he says, well, I've just done it up. I've just spent $2 million on it, love. And she said, put those shelves up. Wait a minute, I've put the shelves. I don't want the shelves there. I want them over there. He puts the shelves up. And she comes back and she says, I'm not living here. He said, what? Where do you want to live? She said, North America. He said, just put the shelves up.
Put the shelves up.
So she's never going to be happy. No. So the fact is, that house has been sitting empty,
dormant.
Right? Yes. No point in giving it to those two. They're worth about $300 million now, right? Out of their deals.
After trashing everybody that they know.
Exactly. Right? I'd love to trash some people and pick up my.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So the rumour is Uncle Andy's going in.
Uncle Andy's going in. Couldn't go to a nicer fella, could it?
And do you know what?
Couldn't go to a nicer bloke.
But Uncle Andy can't afford his house at the moment.
No, it's $30 million.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Is it?
And of course he's got to take his teddies with him.
Got to take his teddies.
What's he got, about 60 teddies? That's a great story, isn't it? He's got 60 teddies. Mm. They all have to be strategically placed.
Yeah.
That's on the bed. Oh, God. I struggled there.
Yeah.
And strategically placed, and the maid once got it wrong.
Oh, really?
She put one teddy out of place.
Right.
And he went pothouse.
Did he?
Oh, yes.
But he wouldn't have gone pothouse because he doesn't sweat, does he?
He doesn't swear.
But do you know what? I just thought about it, and I thought, you know, listen, he is still a royal, effectively.
What does that mean? No, let me ask you a question. I think we've talked about this before. Would you say, are you a royalist?
Of course I am.
You are?
I am.
What do you mean, of course you are?
Yeah. Well, I am.
Don't you think it's dated now?
No. No, I don't. No. I love it.
We have discussed this many times.
We have discussed it. Yeah. And, you know, and when I get my OBE and you get the one below it, which is...
Why will I be below
you
it?
You get an RBE. Rubbish. Rubbish. Rubbishy.
The one, anyone who gets an OBE, it's great. But you get a CBE, it's like... Well, I don't want a CBA, I want an OBE, thank you.
Oh, you get an MBA.
Or an MBA, no, an MBE.
Member of the British Empire.
Empire.
Yeah.
And you get a, what's the other one?
A certain.
An OBE.
A knighthood. A knighthood.
Oh, the knighthood. Yes.
Order of British Empire.
The knighthood's the governor, isn't it? That's what you want.
Not if you give it back. Who gave it back?
No one gave it back, they refuse it. They don't give it back.
Right.
John Lennon gave his MBE back.
Did he?
In protest of the Vietnam War.
Really?
In 1968.
Right. You know, if you get...
Or 67, I think.
If you get an OBE or an MBE or one of those sort of situations, I know that Bobby Moore got, you know...
That's right.
He was given one, and his daughter Roberta got married at St. Paul's. You can get married.
Oh, of course.
Your children get married at St. Paul's, which I went to the wedding. It was... it's a big old place to fill.
I tell you what, was he Sir Bobby Moore?
No,
he wasn't, was he?
No.
I mean, posthumously, he should get it, shouldn't he?
Yeah, I don't know whether he... No, I don't think...
Because you got Sir Geoff Hurst.
Yeah. It was 30 years ago last week that Bobby died.
I know.
Very strange. And while we're on that subject, John,
yes.
Talk about John Motson. The sad news that he died at the age of 77.
I mean, he was the voice of football.
Of football growing up, yeah. I actually met him in November. First time
I'd met him
at Spurs. I was in a box and we was chatting away. And it was just before me and you went to the World Cup.
Mm.
And I was saying, I was introduced to him as the guy that, you know, done the Sven song. And he said, I remember that. I was so proud that he knew about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, of course, I commentated on those England games, you know, especially when we beat Germany 5-1.
Mm.
And do you know what?
Yeah.
He was a pleasure to talk to.
Well, yeah, of course, he's a lovely man.
But he was interested.
He had one of those faces, didn't he?
What noise is that? He didn't make any noises like that.
Well, he kind of spoke, didn't he? I can't do his voice.
No, you can't.
But he had like a... Oh, I know what I mean.
He was great with stats, and he wore a sheepskin. And do you know what? I've got to say, I haven't seen a front page like I saw the Sun that day, the next day. The whole page of the Sun newspaper, front page, sheepskin. And it had the date, you know, from 1945, I think it was. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
That carries some weight. Do you know what I mean?
It's like my watch. Did you hear it?
Yeah, your watch. It's a big. You've got a big gold Rolex.
It's just went like that.
I know.
That like that on the desk.
Carries
yeah. Do you know Danny Dyer, right? Danny Dyer, I'm a liar.
Yeah.
He said I can juggle and do 10 accents. So basically, he once claimed in his CV. That he was a trapeze artist who could juggle and ride a horse.
Right.
The EastEnders star, who quit the BBC soap at Christmas, admitted he had lied about his skills when applying for roles. Have you ever done that?
I told you once.
You ever told a porky?
Yeah, I told you once that I was only about 21. I was laying with my girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And I told her I was a spy. And she said,
yeah, but that was a joke.
It's a liar, right? And she said, what do you mean? And I said, I don't want to talk about it. And she said, oh, shut up, you're an idiot. And we carried on, and I said, and she said, what's the matter? You don't seem yourself. And I said, I've got a lot on my plate, you know. And she said, what? And I said, I've just told you, I work for MI5, right? Not MFI, I work for MI5.
Not MFI, no.
And she, after about 10 minutes, she gave in, and I've got her. And she said,
you had her?
She said, all right, what do you have to do?
You know you got her there.
And I knew I had her. And
I said,
well, I said, I've got to go away next week. I said, I'm going away for a week. And she said, where are you going? I said, I can't tell you.
No.
And she said, why? I said, because I'm a spy.
Of course.
And I went to Magaluf for a week.
No. And what, did you leave her hanging?
Well, I couldn't tell her.
You didn't leave her hanging?
I couldn't tell her because I was a spy, wasn't I?
Did you honestly leave her hanging? That's mental.
Oh, yeah, she still don't know to this day. Anyway, I thought I'd play this one because this is a bit of you, John, because you like a bit of spinning the wheel.
Oh, I do.
I would rather be alone than watch you spinning. Everybody takes their chances these days. Oh yeah, we're standing in the rain.
Georgie Michael. Love a bit of Georgie Michael. You love that song, don't you, John?
I just think he was a genius vocalist because... I keep doing that with my watch, don't I? I'm sorry. He was a genius vocalist. Brilliant. He was very understated. When you think of George Michael, you think of a big vocal, don't you? Mm. You think of this... But he wasn't. He was very understated.
Yeah, but just like...
Beautiful.
We've always said a pure vocal.
Oh, beautiful voice.
Just lovely, lovely.
Yeah, Bill, are you a psychopath?
It depends what I've drunk.
Yeah.
Go on, what you got?
Well, there's a study here.
I've asked Johnny to pick a few subjects out of the Star newspaper.
Well, there's a study here. Mm. Can I say short nasty?
Yeah.
Says it in the paper.
Okay.
Well, Bell, me and you are short, or you and I. We're quite short.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
what are you, 5'8"?
I'm 5'8", yeah.
Are you really?
I'm 5'7½".
I'm 5'5½", or 5'6". So, well, I'm short. Yeah. And if you're
short, fat, and hairy.
If you're, I don't think I'm hairy.
No,
I'm short and fat.
Mm.
If you're unhappy with your height, then you're likely to be a psychopath.
Is that what it says?
That's what it says. Boffins in Italy found that they are more likely to have the trademark dark traits, such as a tendency to show off.
Well, that's fair, but how does that make
and
you
and interested in power? What a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm glad you picked that one.
Oh, God. It's all rubbish.
I've got one for you. I've got one that I've picked out. The Arctic roll is coming back.
Oh.
The dessert.
Yeah. I didn't know it went anywhere. I love an Arctic roll.
There's a lot of stuff that we used to have that is not there anymore.
Jam roly-poly.
Yeah.
Bread and butter pudding.
I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you a sweet.
Go on, give me one.
One of the best sweets ever that was only around really in the 70s.
Go on.
Maybe got to around about 1980 and they stopped it. The Texan.
The big one.
Wasn't it good?
Well, they don't do it.
Of course, they haven't done it for years.
Well, they've got a double. I bet they do.
No, not a Texan.
Are you sure?
Of course. Do you know the reason why they stopped
it? Bomb. The big one.
You know the reason why they stopped it?
What?
Kids pulling teeth out. You had to... It was a long chew, when you'd bite into it, and you couldn't quite get...
It was very chewy, like the Curly Whirly. They still do those, don't they?
Curly Whirly's fantastic.
I'd have a Curly Whirly.
But the Texan, what
dime
you'd do,
bar.
You'd bite into the Texan, and you would stretch it, and you'd
pull it out of your teeth.
And as it come out, it, obviously a couple of teeth will come out on the end of it.
Do you remember how hard it was to eat a Yorkie? Mm. Easy now.
Not for truck drivers.
Bad. I mean, really, truthfully, that advert would be very out of date now, wouldn't it? Chocolate bar for men. Only men can eat this Yorkie.
John, I want to talk about the football.
Yeah.
Your beloved Spurs. I know you was on a flight last night.
Yeah, I didn't see the football.
Beloved Spurs got knocked out of the FA Cup to Sheffield United 1-0. West Ham, I thought, were doing so well in the first half. You West Ham fans that are listening, you'll probably agree with me that there was something good about West Ham last night. And Man United just brought on a couple of players like Casemiro, and they just annihilated us. Bit of a shame because...
Do you think you're going to go down, son?
Well, that was the FA Cup, so we got...
No, I'm just talking about general.
No, I don't think so.
No, you really?
No, I think there's a new... there's a new impetus in West Ham in the last couple of weeks.
Of what did you say?
A new impetus.
An impetus?
Yeah.
Sounds painful.
It does, yeah, it does if you're...
I had an impetus last week. Oh.
I bet you did.
I'd have it cut out.
I bet you have.
terrible impetus. Oh, it was shocking.
Shame for Spurs.
Do you know what? Couldn't care less.
Really?
Not anymore.
For the FA Cup?
Not anymore. The FA Cup's gone.
In the old days.
Oh, yeah.
The FA Cup. On the Saturday morning, you'd wake up, and you wanted to know what suits the team were going to wear, and... It was a whole day thing, wasn't it? You see them on the coach going there, and it was at 3 o'clock. They've changed it at 5 o'clock.
Ridiculous. I loved the 3 o'clock. Did you?
Of course I did.
Your mum had come in with a tea at half time.
What, my mum?
Well, she used to give you yours, and then she'd knit round mine.
Yes, knit round your right. She was unbelievable.
She really was. She was incredible how she did it.
She was like a tea's maid. She was my mum. She
could. She made me cough now. Stop it.
She'd knock on people's doors going, you want
some tea? But that, your mum would come in, make the tea.
What, my mum?
No, stop it. Where was we going with that?
FA Cups.
I used to get up in the morning. One of the things I used to do with my dad.
Sorry?
Oh,
right,
God,
okay.
You know what? Everything's an innuendo with you.
The FA Cup was the cup. I mean, look, Man United won the Carabao Cup the other day.
Yes.
The old League Cup. I mean, who cares about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, who cares about the National League?
The National
League? What is it? The Nations League, sorry. No, the Nations League.
The Nations League.
That's what I meant.
Oh, we first commentated on
it. Yes,
we
did. Yeah, they're laughing at me.
Well, you said the National
League. I meant the Nations League.
If you'd have said the Nations League, I'd know what you're talking about.
I meant the Nations League.
We commentated on that.
We did.
Right at the start.
Yes.
For Love Sport Radio.
We did.
And we said, what's it all about, Alfie?
Do you remember one of the first things we commentated on was for Sky Sports, and it was for the Hackney Marshes.
National Five-A-Side Championship.
National Five-A-Side Championship. And do you remember who played in that one? And you said, I remember you going, he's going to be a big star, that boy.
Peter Crouch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was 11 foot then. He got shorter.
Do you remember you saying it?
Yeah.
I remember you.
Yeah.
In fact, it's on YouTube if anybody wants to go and watch it.
It's very funny.
I think there's a bit with us commentating.
Well, there's us with Harry Redknapp.
That's great.
And there's a great interview.
And Harry's dad.
Harry's dad, Harry Senior.
Harry Senior.
And there's a great interview. I mean, you can go and see it, but there's a great bit where me and you are interviewing Harry at Hackney Marshes. And he says to the old man, he calls him the old man, and he says, he said, the old man played over here. And he said, go on, tell him about that time. And he said, we used to play over here. He said, and we had a ball. We only had one ball. He said, and it went in the river. He said, we didn't have another ball, so we went down the pub. It's great, isn't it? Just a wonderful great story. It's a bit of a show. I'm going to squeeze one more song in if we can, John.
Just quickly, very quickly.
Go on.
Some fella, his name's Phil Mallett. Well, he thinks he's worked out time travel.
No.
Yeah.
Go on.
He's 77 now.
Yeah.
But he still has not started building his time machine.
That could take some time. I can't believe
he's been hooked on the concept since the age of 10, when his dad Boyd died from a heart attack. In a plot straight from the hit 1985 blockbuster, he set out to discover how to propel himself back to 1955 so he could save his dad. Yes, folks, Phil Mallet, you're a lunatic.
See?
One of their better songs, eh? I think George Michael covered it at some point as well. A bit of Culture Club there, a bit of...
I wasn't a fan.
What, of Culture Club?
Nah.
I don't think I was, but I loved Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
I just didn't like his vocal. I always found him to be a bit sharp. Or flat, one of the two. No, he was. I just didn't rate him.
Not for you. Do you know what, John? I wanted to wrap up because it was on our list and we were talking about stuff going up and this massive scare last week that there was no tomatoes left and everyone's going to run out and go, we've got to quickly buy tomatoes like we were buying toilet roll.
Well, I was in
and
Spain.
Like we was doing with the petrol and there's a massive panic and everything. I've gone in everywhere. There's tomatoes everywhere. What are you talking about?
Of course there is. Of course there is.
Yeah.
It's scare money.
You just said to me about onions.
There we go. Oh, I've got to put my glasses on.
Go on. What, so does that make you...
Shows you're getting old, I know that. Mm-hmm. Onions could be the next vegetable to disappear from the supermarket shelves. Supplies of the cooking staple are set to slump, just like tomatoes, peppers and cucumbers. some growers reduce planting due to water shortages. Right.
This is another one of your stories from the Star.
What? Yeah. Oh, no, I don't read this paper. You got it, I didn't.
Here's a funny one. There's a great guy who's running a major TV news channel at the moment, and we walked in to do it. And we are doing the Nigel Farage show at the moment, which we will be on next Thursday.
Yeah.
And we walked in, And the top guy said to us, oh, it's Balon Sparling, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
And we'd never met him, and 20 years ago he worked for the Star, and he wrote stories about us every single day. And I remember him phoning me up and saying, you got any stories? And
I said, right, I remember it.
And I said, no. I said, we're going to Manchester for the England-Greece game. Mm. I said, and we're doing a performance the night before, and we're doing some interviews. And he said, well, how are you getting there? I said, well, we've got a driver, a fella's driving us. He said, well, can't you make out you're going there by helicopter? And I said, if you want. And he wrote in the Star the next day, Balon Sparling to land on the middle of the pitch at Old Trafford.
That's right, helicopter. Yeah. He was their biggest reporter, wasn't he?
He was great. And now he's head of this big news channel at the moment. And it just goes to tell you that everything you read, you can't believe,
no. But he was a nice fella.
Lovely fella, wasn't he? He's been very good.
You can't say the name of the channel?
No. Not really.
Why?
Because then people say... Well, there again...
If you talk about Farage, they know where he is.
Well, he's on a few different things, but... We are doing the Nigel Farage show.
But let me just say something, Bill, to people that are giving me grief on Facebook. I wanted to say to you that, yes, we do Nigel Farage, and it does not reflect our political views. It's just a job. All right? Go away.
Yeah. Plus the fact, he's great to have a beer with, isn't he?
He really is, actually. Yeah, I'm not a political person.
No, he's not. Listen, we are going to be back next week, but we are doing the Nigel Farage show on next Thursday.
Yes.
7
Where
o'clock.
Is it?
It's in Bolton. We're in Bolton, but we're going to do this show. We're going to get a helicopter from here from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock to get to the Farage show. I'm off skiing Sunday. Valterins. Off we go. John Chubb is coming up straight after this with the Football League show. It's been Balon Sparling, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And
sayonara.
We shall see you next Thursday.